We're continuing that same story that Delilah started for us, picking up in the 10th verse of the 24th chapter of Genesis. Continue to listen for God's word. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from his master. And he set out and went to Aram-Naharaim, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water. It was toward evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. I'm standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Let the girl whom I shall say, please offer your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. The girl was very fair to look upon, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me sip a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold nose ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of straw and fodder and a place to spend the night. The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the way to the house of my master's kin. The word of the Lord. Abraham entrusts his servant with an important task. We know this because there's this handshake, swearing scene, hand under the thigh, words spoken. When I read it, I think I'm watching some Three Stooges skit. Kind of silly for me to think about, but it reflects the importance of what is about to take place. Finding a spouse for Isaac. In part, it reflects God's trust in God to continue to act to fulfill the promise God made to Abraham. You go to a new land, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars. Needless to say, if Isaac never marries and has children, the promise will go unfulfilled. We might also note that Abraham still feels the need to help God out in keeping the promise. As the father of three daughters, part of me likes the idea of sending someone to find the spouse for each of them. I could come up with some pretty good criteria. Has to have a good job, treats my daughters well, respects my daughter's father, a Presbyterian, of course. Arranged marriages might not be that bad. Not really. Don't mention it to my daughters, by the way. But that was the way of the world. Abraham's criteria is a little different. He's focused on his daughter-in-law being one of his people, not one of those different people that he now lives among. It's a big deal to Abraham. He entrusts this task to the servant. The servant recognizes the importance of the task and the challenge of it. He asks for clarification. What if I find the woman and she does not want to come back? Do I take Isaac back to the land? Do I leave Isaac here? How does it all play out? It's a big deal. Abraham trusting Isaac. God entrusts us with important tasks. What Abraham does with the servant, God has already done with him. God has called Abraham into relationship. God has things for him to do. Likewise, the servant is asked by Abraham to go into service and goes off an important job. That's how God works. When you said, "I believe," and committed yourself to being a follower of Christ, those were not the final two words of your journey. They were the beginning. They were the beginning of your following the one who entrusts you with important tasks. We read of God and Abraham, Abraham and the servant, and it is our story. We follow the one who chooses to entrust in us the challenge, the joy, the tasks of being the body of Christ on earth. Now we notice the servant tests the process to see what God might be doing, and then he acts. He gets to that watering hole. A watering hole is sort of like a truck stop in those days. Everyone traveling through that area has to stop with their camels for water. Everyone who lives in that area needs water from the watering hole. Women go to get the water. And there's the servant at the watering hole. Lots of options before him. If you were looking for a woman, this is the right place. He's taking it in. He's watching the women come and go. But how? How is he going to find the woman who is to be Isaac's wife? How is God going to be at work in this moment? And he comes up with a plan. I'm standing here, God. I'm right by the watering hole. How about this? I ask a woman for water, the one who gives me water, and then offers to get water for the camels as well. She will be the one. The servant being proactive about communicating with God to try and figure out what God has planned. The servant also maybe hedging his bets. Are you really going to send someone, God? And if you do, will they respond as I've laid down? Testing the waters, so to speak. Sure enough, here comes Rebecca. She gives him water and then offers to water the camels. And what are we told the servant does first? He gazes at her. Is she really the one? She did what I suggested she ought to do. But maybe she's just a nice woman who's extending hospitality. God has done what the servant has asked, but there comes this crucial moment when the servant has to decide, yes, I really believe God is at work or not. And in that moment, he steps forward to act on what he believes to be true about how God is at work in the moment. What does it take for you to step forward? The servant did more than just plan. The servant did more than just test God to make sure of the validity of the plan. The servant did more than come up with a way to identify the woman. The servant stepped forward and acted in faith. I think you are at work, God. And so I'm going to take the next step. That's the challenge of being a disciple. You can plan. You can ask God for clarification. You can set up little hoops, if you will. Hey, God, if you really want this to happen, or if you're really here, it ought to look like this. She ought to ask to give the camels water. You can even believe that God has provided sufficient guidance. But none of that matters unless you step forward. Unless you move from, I think God is at work in my midst, to I'm acting on the belief that God is at work. That's what I love about this story. We see Abraham's maturing faith, and we see God continuing to be at work. Well, I say God's at work, but if you go back and read that story, we don't ever hear the voice of God. We're never told that God does this. The voice from the heavens doesn't shout down. Abraham assumes God will act. In fact, he tells his servant that God will show him who will be Isaac's wife. This Abraham seems far different than the Abraham who doubted God, who would, when he got into tough circumstances, lie to those around him, have his wife lie because he didn't trust that God would take care of him. Abraham has grown and matured in his faith. We see this in the servant as well. The faith to trust that God is at work. When he gives thanks to God in verse 26, he notes that he has been led by God to find Rebekah. He repeats that when he tells the story in verse 48 to Rebekah's family. Nowhere else in Genesis is this word led used. But there are Abraham and the servant, trusting that God will lead them. That word's used elsewhere, you might recognize that it has a rich history in our faith, being associated with the description provided in Psalm 23 of our Lord, who as our shepherd leads, same root word, leads us beside still waters. Abraham and the servant believe God is in their midst, revealing Rebekah to them, and God is true to that faithfulness. Again and again, God has been faithful to Abraham. He's seen it happen. He's doubted and been proven wrong. And now he's at a point where he expects God to be faithful to him in the present moment. A maturing of his faith, an example to all of us. Perhaps you've heard the story of the elderly lady who was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about it. She would stand on her front porch and shout, "Praise the Lord!" Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her proclamations, he would shout, "There ain't no Lord! Praise the Lord! There ain't no Lord!" This would go on and on. Hard times came upon the elderly lady, and she prayed for God to send some assistance. She stood on her porch one afternoon. "Praise the Lord! God, I need food. I'm having a hard time. Praise the Lord. Send groceries." The next morning, she went out on her porch and noted that a large bag of groceries were there and shouted again, "Praise the Lord!" And up jumps her atheist neighbor from behind the bush, and he said, "Ha ha, I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries for you. God didn't." And she jumps up and down, "Praise the Lord! The Lord not only sent me groceries, but made the devil pay for them." Abraham has gotten to a point where he interprets his life through his faith. He expects God to be at work. And God is true to that expectation. Amen.